Hey guys, remember last half when I said that we had a poet coming up and I looked like a big old dummy? Well, I think this time I'm gonna be right. Ariel Atkins!
Hi. Hi. Really funny. I'm actually not doing poetry today. I'm really sorry. It's not on you. I asked my best friend. I was like, I don't know if I should do the poem or I should do the story. And she was like, you got to do the story. And I was like, okay. I guess because we need to do something different. Basically, all right, so it's been a really rough week. All the shithole people know that I've done poetry for them before, that I struggle very hard with major depressive disorder and severe anxiety. And so this week there was a new diagnosis. I'm not going to say what it is, but it was something that really hit me really hard and has not really left me since. And so I was going, Kevin asked me last week if I could do this, and I was going through like a lot of my writings, and I was looking at certain things about myself and like talking to my best friends and like writing myself, like looking at some of the different decisions that I make and why I make them. And one of them is how I treat myself in regard to other people. And so like, this isn't very long, but it's something that I wrote that is kind of more for the intention, is more for me to understand. It's very selfish, more for me to understand myself a little bit more, and just basically that, just to understand myself a little bit more. So this is called Me Too. You sat on the couch with him. More like you sat on him sitting on the couch. In between locking lips and nipping necks, you took turns confessing secrets you hoped would explain everything without having to actually take the time to get to know each other. He skittered over family history, skittered over family history and dropped words like raw to warn you that he didn't want to get into it. You tossed him scars like bird feed and shrugged when he twisted his face into a mask of practiced awe. And you responded, it's nothing, I'm fine now. While inside you shook off nights waking in panic, bent over your knees, choking on emotions you fought to bury in the marrow of your bones where they couldn't come back for you. You told him about rough hands and cousins and closets and locked rooms and houses that you wished you could forget. He said, me too. And you remembered how you'd felt the air leave your body, and you thought no one would understand you the way he would. You looked down at his hands on your waist, his eyes looking the way you felt, and you knew you were both struggling to keep from spilling into the other. You didn't ask for details. You took that me too to mean something probably more than it actually had. You crumpled into his chest, kissed the non-existent tears on his cheeks, and whispered careful sincerities into his ear. Then, 8 months later, you sat across from each other in a conference room because it had taken you 8 months to really get angry, and you had stopped taking your medication, and he was still a trigger as he'd always been. You looked into his eyes and wondered just how many poems you'd written about them and how now they look like cheap sticker jewels tacked onto an oblong skull. And you thought about the way they seemed to look at everything but you. And he asked, what's wrong? And the anger boiled behind your ribs, making you tremble in steam. You thought about all the words you'd eaten to protect him, how he didn't visit or call the hospital, how cold his I'll try had sounded on the phone when you asked him in the emergency room if he would. You thought about his flaccid attempt at friendship, how his actions never matched his words, how he talked about the importance of honesty and gave the opposite. You thought about how you fell in love with the sound of his voice, his straightforward facade, his calculated vulnerability, his easiness, his eyes. You thought about how it was all a lie. You looked at him and hoped that he could see the fury in your eyes, hoped he could feel the lasers you were imagining shooting through his brain. You told him you were off of your meds, you weren't feeling well, you hated him, or maybe you didn't, but he was a trigger. You told him how you were relapsing, how you wanted to die, and how you couldn't stop thinking about the failure from a month and a half prior. You told him about keys in the bathroom stall, and an anger you couldn't control, and again that you hated him. You noticed how he tensed when you told him that you hated him. And you hoped that your words had hurt. You told him he never cared. And he said, you forced me to care. You brought it here, and now you're making me care. And I don't know how to fix this. And you could hear your mother's voice in your ear saying, you put all of your hope and passion into people who couldn't care any less whether you live or die. When are you going to put that kind of love into yourself? And you saw him, weak, bent, loose skin that dragged itself out of bed and called itself a man. You were all anger and hellfire, and for the first time in a long time, you felt something other than tired or worthless or helpless. You rose from the table with your shoulders back and breathed a cool, I'm done. And he said, me too.
Thank you, Ariel. That was fantastic. Yeah. Man. Guys, it should be overly abundant to you by now that I actually have no idea what I'm doing up here. I don't know who's a poet, whatever. What do we have going on?